welcome to another inspirational message from Pastors Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any more resources, go to davegilpin.com.
This is the best thing for us. I'm quite looking forward to it. My message starts off with three types of people here, and I suspect that the first type are those who feel called to this year, that we're in this house right now. We feel like we've been thrust into 2017, and we're coming at you. Like, is that the spirit on a lot that we're coming at you? You know, there's a lot of miracles, there's a lot of destiny, there's a lot of assignments, there's a lot of incredible things that God has for us, and the spirit of Esther's on us. We've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this, and permission to get excited about it, permission to have your own little celebration about it, you know. This is our year. This is our year. Every other year was a stitch up for this year. Every other year was preparation for this year. That we were training for reigning. That was our training. This is our reigning season. And I suspect, you know, that I've been feeling the buzz. I know you're not buzzing back to me because you're being a bit rebellious, trying to make it difficult for me. But there's a buzz in the air. You can sort of feel like people have captured 2017, have captured people's imagination. One solitary, enthusiastic person over this side. You know, like I would say, most of us feel called to this year, but that some of us don't feel thrust into this year. Some of us feel thrown into this year. And some of us feel like, well, we've arrived, but which way's up? And I don't know if you've ever been in surf, right? But when you get tossed over by a big wave, it's for ages, you don't know which way's up, you know? They say that if you're in an avalanche, you just don't know what's up, what's down. And some of you are exactly like that. You've come to this point not knowing which way's up and just feeling like you're in the movie Twister. Cows, caravans, cars, just everything all around about you. So, you know, but there's a third group of people that don't feel thrust out, that don't feel thrown out, but feel sold out. And somebody sold you out. You know, you feel that there's been a misjustice done upon your life, and you feel like the world owes you a lot because you put in your best effort and it threw the opposite back to you. And so you feel like you've been sold through misjustice and sold through misrepresentation, and your real relationships that you had have moved into real isolation and real rejection. So this, I suspect there's other ways that you could have got here, but we're here. We've arrived. You've arrived. Whether you're thrust out, thrown out, sold out, you've arrived at this point. And whether you were called out like Abraham was called out, or whether you were thrown out like Jonah was thrown out of the boat, or whether you were sold out like Joseph was sold out into slavery. It seems to me it didn't matter. It doesn't matter as much how you got here. What matters is you are here, and 2017 is waiting for you. There is a Nineveh in your 2017 that's waiting for your arrival. There are people waiting to be set free, waiting for a savior, waiting for a deliverer. There's people who are waiting for you. There's a position of influence waiting for the Josephs amongst us. And you can cry over the fact that you got sold out. And yet you were sold out was the stitch up for you to be risen up and for you to be placed in a position of influence so that you can help deliver a nation. The Joseph spirit's on you. And some of you, you know, called out like Abraham, sold out like Joseph, and thrown out of the boat like Jonah. but there's a Nineveh. There's a position of influence. There's a land flowing with milk and honey in your 2017. There's people waiting for you. Right now, you're in the middle of your God story. And right now, you're in the middle of miracles. There's miracles behind you. You shouldn't be here today. How many accidents could have been fatal in your history? It's only because God's been protecting you that you've arrived to this point. You might have arrived just to survive, but survival is not written about in the New Testament. Thrive is what's talked about. But God has protected you from birth to bring you to this place and to this point. And you're living in a place between miracles. Now I'm going to talk about that place. Because Samuel, the great leader of Israel, found himself in the middle of two miracles. I'm going to read a passage. The whole nation of Israel was assembled at a place called Mizpah. And the Philistines thought this is a good time to attack them. And so they gathered all of their army together. And they went out across the plains to attack them. And then Samuel cried out to God, which is what we're about to do for 10 days. He called out to God saying, God, deliver us. And then God thought in his imagination, let's create such a loud noise that it totally disturbs them all. And it created havoc amongst the Philistine camp. And then they didn't even put their armory on properly. The Israelites came over and created a great victory. That's the miracle. But then after that, this is what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Picks up the story. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far, the Lord has helped us. And that's what today is all about. It's raising up the stone of our Ebenezer and declaring, to date, God has helped us. It's not only reflective, but it's proactive. It not only looks back, that expression, thus far, God's helped us. It looks forward to the God who never changes. You've changed, but God has never changed. It looks forward to what God's about to do by raising up an Ebenezer of what God has done. And we need to pause and Selah in the midst of our journey right now, because you are not between a rock and a hard place. You're between a previous miracle and the next miracle. Let's get our perspective right. Jonah was thrown into troubled waters, yet he found himself unexpectedly in the mouth of a whale. And so your trouble of being thrown out is a stitch up, because in the water of your life, there is a whale. There is a savior. There is somebody traveling beside your boat ready to catch you. Because you're not alone. And while in the whale, he raised up his Ebenezer. And in Jonah chapter 2, verse number 2, he says this, in the belly of a whale, in my distress, I called out to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help and he listened to my cry. Verse 6, to the roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, my God, brought my life out of the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Then, ta-da, the whale took him to the shoreline of destiny. So in between the whale saving him, that was his yesterday. And the whale taking him to the shore of his destiny and taking him to his Nineveh. That was his tomorrow. He lifted up an Ebenezer and he said, I remember thus far the Lord has helped me. And every person in this place that is between miracles needs to lift up the rock of your Ebenezer and declare, thus far, to date, up to date, right now, God has helped me. You need to recognize that God has never left you, never forsaken you. God is upon you. He's upon you right now. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6 in the New King James says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. And so in all your ways, lift up an Ebenezer, raise up your Ebenezer of praise, of awareness, and he'll direct your path. Some of you don't have a clue where you're heading in 2000. No, it doesn't really matter. If you acknowledge him in all of your ways, the NIV says that he'll make your path straight. And so to do that, every mountain needs to be made low, and every valley needs to be raised high, and all crookedness needs to be straightened out, and all roughness needs to be smoothed out. Just described your life. But the Bible says, if you place an Ebenezer between your past and your future, God will step in. And he'll pull down the mountain, raise up the valley, straighten out the crookedness, smooth out the roughness, fill in every pothole like they've begun to do in Sheffield. They haven't done for 150 years since the roads were laid. This is your God, the pothole filler. And how many potholes are in your world? How many times have you tripped up in the last 10 days alone? And yet God fills in every pothole to make the way straight so that God can direct you in all of your ways. In our 10 worlds, we need to take a stone out of our Mizpah and call it our Ebenezer and place it between our past and our future. He's with you. I'm not going to introduce my son to make an experiment out of this so that we can actually bring in and usher in the presence of God while I'm preaching. So give Ryan a huge hand. It's his last weekend here. He's just seen his cousin in Portland, Oregon, the drug capital of America, the weird capital. I think their slogan is keep Portland weird. So once he gets himself sorted, he's with you in the storm. He's been with you in the storm. You see storm, you should see Savior. He's been with you in your sorrow. Every tear he's watched fall from your eye onto your cheek because he's with you. He's been with you in your sin. His hands were pierced to free your hands. His legs were pierced. His feet were pierced to free your feet. He took your sin. He made himself familiar in all of your ways to be a priest, to be someone that sticks closer than a brother, who's not repelled by your sinfulness, was attracted to your sinfulness through the blood of Christ. He's been with you in your grave. He's been with you in your complexity. He's been with you in your anxiety. And we're with him in his resurrection. And we're with him in his ascension. And we're with him in his glorification. He's been with us in our salvation. He's been with us in our success. He's been with us in our transformation. Because thus far, to date, the Lord has been our help. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. He'll take over. In all of the Bible, the masterpiece of every promise out of 6,000 promises is one promise, five words, is the Rembrandt five words of the entire Bible, and it's found in Jeremiah 31, verse 33, I'll be their God. That God should condescend, that God should descend and say, I'll be their God. Because your question is, how many people follow me? How many people like me? How many people are integrated into my world? Have I got a BFF? How many people actually dote? How many people actually delight myself? And yet God says, I've descended to be, I've chosen to be yours forever. That I've just chosen to be your God. So none of us are empty-handed. None of us are left without a BFF. Every one of us has someone who's closer than a brother, because he's committed himself to be your God. It's the craziest promise in all the world. The God who created the universe should walk with you. It's mad. It's crazy. It's weird. It's a flight of fancy, but it's true. You're going to have to get over yourself, get over your sin, get over your negativity, get over your rejection complex, get over your inferiority, because God is standing right next to you. He's delighting in you. He does a little dance every now and again. Because in Zephaniah, it says he rejoices over us with singing and dancing. Skips because he delights to be in your presence. Out of all the most undeserved, gracious things that have ever happened in the world, it's I will be their God. And it's echoed in the New Testament with the most beautiful, the most lovely expression of God that was pronounced by the angel, I think, upon the birth of Jesus Christ, that he shall be called Emmanuel. I don't know what you think the most beautiful line in the Bible is, but for me, that's the one I've highlighted. That he should be called Emmanuel. He's not a distant savior. He's not a distant redeemer. He doesn't turn his back upon us and save us. He cleaves to us, clings to us, because he's committed to himself being our God. He's with you not just in your sins and sorrows, he's also with you in your desires and emotions. How deep are your desires? How deep are your emotions? How deep are your wounds? How deep are your insecurities? How deep are your attachments? How deep are your regrets? How deep are your hurts? And how deep are the cries of your heart? Let's just think about it for a second. How deep? Like, I think, Dave, how insecure can one man continue to be? Like from child to teenager, to 20s to 30s to 40s to 50s, surely I should have shaken off this insecurity. I'm just flabbergasted how insecure one man can be in his 50s. If you were to stretch out my insecurities, they go for miles. But I've discovered this about God. He's immeasurable. And wherever, however deep I go, he's deeper. Whatever hatred I pick up, his love covers and is greater. Whatever insecurities I've gathered over the years and through my family line, his securities are greater than my insecurities. Whatever brokenness, his wholeness is bigger than every piece of brokenness, because he's God and he's immeasurable. If your desires are deep, God's capacity is deeper. If your needs are high, your God's love is higher. If you swim the ocean of his love, you'll never find the end. If you climb the mountain of his faithfulness, you'll never reach the top. You never outrun God. Psalm 36, verse 5 says, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountain. Your justice is like the great deep." It's just simply saying there's no end to this guy called Jesus. There's no end to this God. He's a remarkable God. And he's with you. He's chosen it. He wasn't forced into it. There's no chains on him. He volunteered to be with you. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, one of Paul's, like, I'm going to say five or six prayers in the New Testament. This is one that he prayed over and over again while he was in jail. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of God. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And so it must be God's will that you'd grasp in this 10 days of prayer, and that you'd grasp how wide, how deep, how high, that you could almost have an outer body experience instead of being always contained, that you could see there is a God next to you. He is not contained. And you could become more God-conscious than self-conscious if you lift up your Ebenezer. Thus far, God has helped us. Your needs, my needs, are beyond measure, and yet He is immeasurable. Your desires are beyond the mountain, yet He is beyond the skies. And you know, that's the revelation we heard from Pastor Colin last week about Jonathan, Saul's son, about to take on the Philistines, that he had the same kind of revelation of who was actually with him. He didn't have a clue of the outcome, but he knew the character of who stood beside him. This is what he said in 1 Samuel 14, verse 6. Come, let's go over to the outposts of those uncircumcised men. Maybe the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. It's just, you don't need to know the acts of God. You just need to know the ways of God. That God can win by many or by few. You just need to know the character of God, not the future of you. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they did know who would make it happen. They knew God was with him, and they experienced an incredible victory because his very confession was the very Ebenezer he needed to put up to state that God can win by many or by few. I don't know what's about to happen, but it's a maybe, but I do know who's walking with us. Emmanuel, the all-sufficient one, the one mightier than the thunders of great waters, the one who makes your eyes sparkle, the one who makes your heart beat faster, the one who sits enthroned upon the circle of the earth. He's here now. What we need to do is not put his power first, not put our purposes first, and not put his provision first. We need to put his presence first. We need to get this thing right. And the Lord's Prayer doesn't start off with power. The Lord's Prayer starts off with presence. It says, Our Father. It doesn't start off with our sins. It starts off with Our Father, who art in heaven. You're amazing. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. This is incredible. That's where the Lord's Prayer starts. Because a lot of you are thinking, how do I get started? How do I kick this thing started? How do I get started in God in 2017? So many needs and that. No. Forget about your needs. Start with His presence. Because if you can cultivate His presence, if you can be aware of His presence, acknowledge Him in all of your ways, He'll make mountains pull down, valleys rise up. Crooked straight. Like, the other stuff's important, you know. Our Father's our inner world, who art in heaven is our faith world. Hallowed be your name is our worship world. That's his presence. Our future world, thy kingdom come, that's important. Our provisional world, give us this day our daily bread, that's necessary. Our grace world and our relational world are deeply needed. Forgive us of our debts and forgive those who trespass against it. Our wisdom and our warfare world is essential. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And our trust world, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. That's for definite. We want to start
at the starting point. And it begins with the presence of God. And you can feel it right now. Like a mist, it descends upon us. Like Jacob, surely the God was in this place, and I was not aware of it, as he opened his eyes to the stairway between heaven and earth. I'm just going to slow this down a bit and think, I can feel it. And, almost felt something else then. And in this in his presence, there is joy. Some of you are looking pretty glum. And in this presence, there's healing. And in the first service, this lady came up to me and said, I've had problems with my, kind of like, not like a cataract, but just a bit of blindness in my eye. And while you were preaching, I just got this feeling in my eye. And she said it totally cleared up. And a doctor said, you're going to have to go to surgery and you're going to have to get this surgically fixed, totally healed, in the middle of my preaching. Healing happens. And so there might be something, there might be an allergy from foods. There might be something wrong with your hearing. There might be something wrong with your eyes. There might be something wrong with your skin. There might be something wrong with your joints. There might be something wrong with your lungs. Every mountain. There might be something wrong with your mind. Every valley. He is the God of miracles, and has never ever stopped being the God of miracles. He's just done a lot behind the scenes invisibly. You've not recorded how many he's actually done. But when you become conscious of God, it seems like he does a lot more, because he begins to direct your path and begins to take over. Psalm 97 verse 5, it says the mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all of the earth. I love that. Something happens when you worship his presence. When you stand in awe and dwell in his presence, the rocks of difficulty become waxworks. They begin to melt in his presence. I've got to pause there. So how many mountains towering over you that right now are starting to melt? You know what melting's like. You've lit up about, for all of us, 10,000 Yankee candles over Christmas time. You know what wax is like. You know, you're disappointed after you burnt the whole thing. You try and light it, it won't light again because you burnt all of the wax. That's what happens to your mountains before the presence of God. I can see it in my mind's eye right now. It's melting. It used to be like Everest, now it's kind of like Ben Nevis. Soon it'll be like the Derbyshire Dales. It'll be completely flat. Not Sheffield, some other city. Completely flat. You think, where's that gone? It just melted. Just melted before the presence. I can feel it right now, his presence. It's probably healing just one or two people as a sign and a wonder of his greatness, because of the richest five words in the Bible, I will be their God. Start to land it, and just I'll show you what happened after Samuel presented his Ebenezer and said, up to date, the Lord has been our help. In 1 Samuel 7:13-14, this is what happens. So the Philistines were subdued, and they stopped invading Israel's territory.
Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines, and the towns of Ekron and Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to Israel. Just underline that. And Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hand of the Philistines. And there was peace, especially between Israel and the Amorites. So what was given back to them were five cities, but two cities were mentioned, Ekron and Gath. Ekron means barren, it means torn out by the roots. And there's been some people in your world that were torn out by the roots that should never have left your life. If not for Satan, they would be in your life right now. If not for the dark forces that blow across this earth, they would be in your world right now. The Philistine spirit has ripped some people, some sons and some daughters, some brothers and some sisters, some mothers and some fathers, some uncles, some aunties, have ripped some colleagues, have ripped some businesses, have ripped some ministries, has ripped some reputations out from you. The Bible says after he laid and raised his Ebenezer, that Ekron belonged to Israel. And Gath, you know Gath. Gath is where Goliath's from. So it's a place full of giants. Some of your fears are like giants. Just, you know, you. Every time you have a shower, you're thinking about that giant. Every time you're eating lunch, you think every time you get a moment, you're consumed by this one giant. But God takes Gath out of the Philistines' hands and he gives it back to you. You know, David's the great Goliath slayer, but I suspect that Goliath got slain by the Ebenezer of Samuel. And I suspect that what we do today in us experimenting with the presence of God will cause the head of that giant to be knocked off. And for every giant in your life to fall under the presence of God. Ekron is now yours. You're between miracles. God's about to give you your son back. He's about to give you your daughter back. He's about to give you your ministry back. He's about to give you your influence back. Ekron's yours. Gath is yours. And just lastly, Samuel grabbed a rock from a place called Mizpah, which means the Lord watches over us. And then he placed it between Mizpah and Shen. And Shen means tooth or sharp edge. He's about to give you your edge back again. Your cutting edge back again. But before the cutting edge comes, you're sharp as you used to be or sharper. There's an Ebenezer to deal with. You can't rush this thing called the kingdom of God. You've got to Selah. You've got to pull back. And worship your God. He delights in you. He unites with you. He fights with you. Like Moses, Hope City is going nowhere without the presence of God. I've got to say that again. We are going nowhere without the presence of God with us. How about the musos come on up? And as I just claim just a few more promises so that you can wrap your legs around, wrap your arms around. Fear not is mentioned 365 times in the Bible. There's a fear not for every day of your 2017. And it's always linked to fear not, for I am with you. God is with you. It's always associated with this presence. As we leave our past, as we let go of the rope of our insecurities, as we cleave to God, the promises come into their element. In Isaiah 41, verse 10. Well, in actual fact, let me read it with your eyes closed. So just close your eyes and just, I'm going to be kind of like the mouthpiece of God because I'm reading scripture here. I'm not making this up. And so you can receive this and let it seep into you. Seepage factor is strong for the kingdom of God. So do not fear, fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Two more chapters forward, 43 verses 1 to 2. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've summoned you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the river, the rivers will not sweep you away. When you walk through the fires, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. The one who's experienced in rivers and fires is with you. The one who went from hell's doors to heaven's gates is with you. He's with you. He delights in you. He's leading you. He has it all for you. He's the Lord of the empire of love, and he will not stop loving you until his purpose prevails. Get your stone out. Lift up your praise. Lift up your acknowledgement that God is with you. Melt into him. Be shaped by him. Be carried by him. Be immersed by him. Be baptized afresh by him. Be filled afresh by him. Be loved by him. Be united with him. Be empowered by him. Be captured by him. Be surrendered to him. Be exclusive with him. Be lifted by him. And be one with him. Father, let your presence fall in this place, in Jesus' name.